traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio. I'm your host, Bethany Moore, and I'm NCIA's Deputy Director of Communications. Today, my guest is Alfonso Tucky Blunt Jr. He's the owner of both Proud Papa's Clothing and Blunts and More Dispensary, a fifth-generation Oakland native that opened the first dispensary under Oakland's Cannabis Social Equity Program. Blunts and More opened its doors on November 24th, 2018, and is proudly driven by the vibrant, hardworking local community and striving to make cannabis accessible to all of their consumers in a safe and comfortable environment. Welcome to the show today, Tucky.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor. This is dope.
Awesome. Well, let's get to know a little bit more about you for our listeners. Let's start with, you know, your background and experience and, you know, what you wanted to be when you were growing up and all that fun stuff. What'd you do before you got into what you're doing now?
So as crazy as this may sound, cannabis has been in my life since birth. I've been around cannabis since I came out the womb. Yeah, my earliest memories of cannabis was about 3 to 4 years old in that era. But did I see myself doing this? No. As a kid, I wanted to be an architect, and that was my focus up until about 10th grade, and then it shifted to cannabis. But I also detail cars. A lot of people know me for doing that. I clean cars very well, I'll put it like that. And I would always combine the two, the cleaning of the cars and the selling of the weed.
That's awesome. I could use a little detailing myself in my little Subaru.
Hey.
Awesome.
But yeah, that was pretty much it. Like, born and raised in Oakland, as you said, fifth generation, and graduated high school in Oakland, junior high school in Oakland, elementary school in Oakland, etc.
Oh, wow.
And now I sell weed in the same zip code that I got arrested for selling it in. So pretty cool.
So yeah, speaking of that, so your reason for being in the cannabis industry and the movement, I mean, in your case, how and why you got involved was it was part of your culture. You were immersed in it from day one. But yes, as far as making this, you know, in 2018, that was what, 3-4 years ago.
Yes.
How did all that happen?
So prior to 2017, we go back a little bit to, I was 19, 1999. I heard about my first dispensary from my grandma. She came out with weed on 19th and Telegraph in Oakland. I said, what's that? She said, that's weed. I said, you bought that out of a store? She said, yes. I said, I want one. Didn't know nothing about it, but when started immersing myself in the community, worked at several clubs, started growing weed in 2002, sold a lot of weed that I grew to clubs. And I never saw Black owners there. I never saw anybody Black other than security or the bud tenders. And that bothered me. I always approached selling cannabis as a business. So I was like, well, man, why I don't see any Black owners? So I always tried to be an owner. It didn't happen. 2008, I went to Oaksterdam because I felt that could help me maybe get a chance at ownership. Tried again, graduated from Oaksterdam, tried to get a club, didn't happen. 2017, I got a phone call from Mike Marshall, who was the voice of the song I Got Five on It. And he said, Tucky, you ever caught a case for weed? You ever caught a case for weed at Oakland? And I was like, yeah, I caught a weed case in 2005. One of the guys I was buying cannabis from told the police on me. And it was my first case. I had never been involved with the police, caught my case, bailed out, kept on selling weed. And I was like, yeah, I caught my case. You know what they need from me? He was like, they just need you to fit a qualification for something called the Oakland Equity Program. I went and met with those two people after I, you know, looked up what the Oakland Equity Program was. At that time that he called me, I was a certified detail trainer for Tesla. I was teaching people how to detail Teslas. Applied for the license in December, won the license in January of 18, opened the store in November of 18. That's literally how fast that happened.
Wow. Yes, that does sound like, you know, once you started moving, it got from zero to 60 there.
Correct. Literally. It was kind of full circle for me because I've been selling weed in Oakland, like I said, since 1996 and had become a street store. You know what I mean? So to be able to have a legal store in the same zip code I grew up in is pretty amazing, to say the least.
Right. Right. So you've got the brick and mortar storefront mm-hmm. now. You're fully regulated, licensed, you know, a lot more paperwork, I'm guessing.
Definitely.
Awesome. But, you know, you don't have the fear of going to jail, or at least as greatly as you did prior to that. You know, even the legal, regulated, licensed cannabis industry still has that inkling of fear about some kind of federal intervention. You know, raids still can happen. But right. The idea being, if you're crossing your T's, dotting your I's, being compliant, then you'll be left alone. Is that how it feels?
That's how it feels. We just have more fear from other things. But as far as me being able to sell cannabis legally in Oakland, I do feel comfortable in that sense. You know, federal. But from my legal state perspective, yes, I'm 100% comfortable selling cannabis legally in my city.
Whew, what a relief.
Yes.
So yeah, let's talk more about present day and your storefront, Blunts and More, in Oakland. You've been operating for about 3 years, if I'm doing my math correctly. Yes. How's it going? What's that like? What's the scene like in Oakland running your store?
So for me, it's great. It's amazing. It's like the adjectives I could use could be, you know, an abundance, but it's super, super impactful what we're doing for the community. I appreciate all the love, appreciate all the support we have. The numbers are pretty good. With me and my day-to-day, I'm more so like the face of the brand, doing interviews, trying to work on franchising, just branching out, doing things that I used to do when I was a youngster. I'm real good with talking to people. So I'm just moving around trying to build the brand, build the name up so I can one day open a store somewhere else. But aside from all the good things that's going on, it's been kind of hard, to be totally honest with you. California cannabis is kind of being ran into the ground by the overtaxation and the underprotection with regards to security, and also with us not having banking. So all the highs that I'm having, they're being kind of like outweighed by the lows because of just the overtaxation that we're dealing with in the space. Like if I go another 3 years the way I'm going now, I will have to close business. And not because I'm not bringing in money, but because I'm pushing out so much money on stuff that has nothing to do with selling cannabis, if that makes sense.
Right, right. The old adage that the cannabis industry is frustrated that we're being regulated so much more heavily than other industries, like radioactive plutonium.
Yes, it's. I get what they think they're doing. They're trying to, you know, eliminate or eradicate the street market. But if that's your goal, this is not how to do that. And that should never be your goal, because the street's not going anywhere. But being that the people that are in charge have never been for lack of better words, on the streets, they don't know. You know what I mean? So it's like, we've been trying this way for 6 years. We've been trying this since the Prop 215 days. It's okay to say, you know what, we messed up. Let's try something different. Because again, for me to be the first social equity retail facility anywhere in the world to say I'm ready to close and move if it continues like this after 3 years, that's not a good look. You know what I mean? But they're forcing us out of business with the way they're running Californian cannabis. And it's sad. It's actually criminal. If I want to be frank, it's criminal what they're doing to us in California.
Let's take our first commercial break, and then after the break, let's jump into a deeper dive there of talking about operating in California. So stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back.
NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice will return once we give a voice to our sponsors.
All right, we're back on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio, talking with Tucky Jr. here of Blunts and More. So let's start by talking about social equity in the U.S. and specifically in your state, California, which, hey, it's a big state. You know, people say it feels like it's three or four different states all combined into one, because Northern California, the Bay Area, is very different culturally, economically, socially from Southern California, like LA and San Diego. So what has your experience been in California, in the cannabis industry, getting involved as a social equity business owner?
It has been an experience. First off, when we got our license in 2018, January 31st, there was no grants, there was no funding, there was nothing for us. They had a technical assistant program, but the technical assistant people were regular attorneys. They weren't cannabis attorneys. So they didn't really know anything either. So we was given a $1 billion license with maybe $2 worth of knowledge. So it's been a challenge. I've learned everything on the clock. I've learned, you know, I'm very observant. I've worked for Alameda County 13, 14 years. I type 90 words a minute. I'm a nerd, but I'm also from the streets. So I've been really tuned in on what's going on, and social equity in the Bay Area kind of feels like a reverse war on drugs. It's like they literally put us out with this license and kind of like dangled us in front of people like, hey, come take our license from us and help us. I also noticed that a lot of us having the social equity license don't know the value of our license. We undervalue it. We think that if someone loans us some money, then that gives them rights to be owners of our business. That's only the case if you allow that. But no one should have any right to your business or any ownership just because they allow you to borrow money. The bank doesn't do that. So with that going on in California, with the overtaxation that I know we're going to get to, it's been difficult to run a business in California in the Bay Area. Oakland is one of the highest tax places in the Bay Area when it comes to cannabis. I think you leave overall my store paying 34% to 40% tax. Some of that tax goes to the police. And then up until recently, I will definitely say up until recently, the police weren't protecting us. They would tell us, you know, we'll come whenever we get there, leave us for dead 4 or 5 hours. So to have that going on, you know, you're paying for protection, you know, you're paying all these ridiculous taxes, can't get the help. It's a lot. It's a reverse war on drugs. I'm basically been put in a position to set up to fail. And it's not cool.
Okay. Yeah, that's frustrating. So on top of the social equity piece there that you've been describing, there's also federal challenges, like the Section 280E of the tax code, which is crippling business owners in the cannabis space across the country, and then inconsistent banking services, which, you know, we're working on the Safe Banking Act in Congress, but
yes, we are.
You know, some companies have gone through dozens of banks, especially in the early years of legal cannabis. It's getting a little better now, but, you know, tell me more about your experience with these many, many other challenges.
So banking, paying a bill as a cannabis owner, any part of the business, whether it's delivery or manufacturing, whatever, is hard. If you get in the bank, you got to lie 100% lie on your application. So that can pose a problem. When you do have to pay bills, you have to go to maybe four or five post offices to pay a $10,000 bill because you only can get money orders up to a certain amount at the post offices. So you're spending most of your day running around with all this cash to go to a post office to get money orders to go pay a bill. It's ridiculous. The 280E and all the tax codes, what people don't understand, everybody on the outside says, hey, let's get into growing and selling. We'll make a bunch of money. No, you won't. You won't because of the 280E and the tax codes. We can't get any write-offs. I pay, I have staff, I pay for staff, I collect SSI, all of that. We don't get no write-offs. There's no write-offs for plant touching. So to have all this overtaxation, then not to be able to get anything in it written off as a business, we're a business at the end of the day, a business, but we're not treated as such. And then we can't bank because we're not federally legal. It's again, it's like a trap. It's like a trap. It's I hate to use those kind of terms and kind of words because I really love being able to do what I'm doing, but it's not being done correctly. Mm-hmm. Bethany, it's not. It's just not being done right.
It certainly doesn't sound like we're being set up for success here. No. In fact, it feels the opposite at times, that we are being set up for failure. So, I mean, getting into the cannabis space for those who have not yet, for those who have not put their, you know, gotten their hands dirty, it is not a day at the beach to work in the cannabis industry. Would you agree?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Right. So, but, you know, it's not, given all that, given all of those challenges, which we continue to work on, sometimes we make incremental progress. Sometimes it feels like we're dragging our feet. I mean, I got to say, we're in this for some reason. So let's talk about maybe some of the inspiring and uplifting things that we can celebrate in our space. Like, for example, we don't have as many people behind bars in jail for a plant now. That's great start, right?
Right. Right. Need more. Definitely need to release the 40,000 that's still in there. You know what I mean? But they're working on it. Positive things, again, us being able to sit down. I just was off, got off a meeting last night with some assembly members in New Jersey. I just did something with Red Man's National Cannabis Party. Like, there's us being able to sit down and talk to political leaders is helping and inspiring to me and uplifting because they're actually trying to listen. Mm-hmm. But what a caveat to that is we have to vote the right people in at the local level. A lot of that's being missed out and like skipped over. The reason why a lot of these cannabis laws are how they are is because the people that are making them don't give a damn about cannabis because we didn't vote the people that give a damn about cannabis into the offices. Mm-hmm. So what's inspiring and uplifting for me around that even is just being able to be in the room and be at the table to help craft these laws before they happen. And then for me personally, I am working on so much other things. I'm working on some hemp projects. I'm working on franchising to other states. I have my Simply Green flower brand that I'm working on. So I try not to let the store stuff bog me down because those are things I can't control. I can't control the taxes. I can't control the banking, but I can control me working on other projects. So that's what inspires and uplifts me is knowing that I can do other things besides, you know, let them try to ram me into the ground with this retail license.
Wow, what a great point you made about the elected officials and the people, you know, even some of these positions aren't elected, they're just appointed, but you have to have a seat at the table, even at the hyper-local level.
You know,
most people only vote, for example, every 4 years when there's a presidential election. But there are smaller elections that happen in between. And most people are like, it's not a big deal. It's not like I'm voting for president. I don't need to vote. Yes, you do. And getting to know who these people are in these, you know, these at-large people, these district people, those are the people that are sitting around making the decisions that are impacting your business. Is that right?
Yes. And what people don't get about that, I'm 42. So I still remember being in school, learning about checks and balances and how the government works. who you vote in on the local level helps craft all the legislative stuff. By the time it gets to a president, the laws are already made. All they're doing is just signing it. People tend to forget that.
Right.
I remember that. You have to vote for the people on the local because they craft for the federal. So I know that was like off subject, but that really goes with everything. It really
does. Oh, yeah. 100%. I mean, they're not going to be able to fix 280E or federal issues for you, right? But there's a lot of local, like you're balancing both local, county, state, city, and federal. So I just think that's a great point, and thank you for making it. And we probably need more cannabis people running to fill these seats as well.
I agree.
On that note, let's take our last commercial break here, and then let's come back and wrap up our conversation with Tucky of Blunts and More. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice will return once we give a voice to our sponsors.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we're back on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio, having a lively conversation here with Tucky Blunt of Blunts and More Dispensary in Oakland, California. You know, I love the Bay Area, and we were just there. NCIA was just there December, middle of December. We don't usually host trade shows in the middle of December, but it's been an odd couple years. We were glad to bring back our Cannabis Business Summit and Expo after taking a almost 2-year hiatus. So we were in San Francisco at the Moscone Center and hosted our 7th annual Cannabis Business Summit and Expo. I believe you made it there. Is that right? Did you attend?
Yes, I attended briefly. I had a couple of set appointments that I had to go to, but I was there briefly and I went to all the after stuff. So yes, it was very, very dope. And thank you guys for having me.
Cool. Yes. Yeah. We had some great, keynote speakers from the athletic world and, also, Troy Datcher from the parent company, which is co-owned by, Mr. Beyonce. And, I had a wonderful time sitting in the podcast studio on the expo floor, chatting with a ton of people, and we'll be airing some of those interviews over the next few weeks and months here. Yeah, as we lead up to our next show, we're going to return to the summer schedule because it's wonderful to be in the Bay Area in the summer. We'll be back at the Moscone Center in San Francisco.
Nice.
July 20th, 21st, and 22nd for the 8th annual Cannabis Business Summit and Expo. So save the date, cannabisbusinesssummit.com. We'll start to see more information. We're just saving the date right now, so stay tuned for more details. So I look forward to meeting you this summer.
I want to speak. I want to speak this year, hopefully. Hopefully they let me speak.
Great. So we will be soliciting for NCIA members to apply to speak at our conference pretty soon here.
Cool.
We have a application process here. So we have all of our committees and a speaker committee review everything and vet everybody. So it's you're definitely going to get some good quality education if you've never attended an event before. And you're a member through NCIA's DEI program. Is that right?
Yes.
Awesome. How's that working for you? What do you like about this community of social equity applicants being brought together? I believe we have over 100, if not close to 200, social applicant members here at NCIA.
Man, so I had been trying to get involved for the last year or two and finally was able to within the last 6 months, and it's been super dope. I've linked up with Mike a few times, linked up with some people from the meetings a few times. A couple of people knew who I was that I had never met before. So it's been definitely dope to network amongst the community because I come from the Prop 215 era. So I remember going into a club and it was about the compassion. It was about the donation. It was about the community vibe. Cannabis is a community bringing two type plant, you know what I mean? So NCIA has been giving me that so far so good. I have no complaints. I'm looking forward to seeing where we can go and how I can help NCIA do what it needs to do within this community and how we can just all, you know, pour into and receive from each other. So I'm excited.
Absolutely. I think it's been an awesome opportunity to focus on the DEI applicants in every state. And when we saw Massachusetts actually write those social equity provisions into their legalization adult use laws from the get-go, that really set a precedent for future states as they approach legalizing for adults. And we're hitting that critical mass across the country. So it's really encouraging to see how we're learning from past mistakes and taking the lessons and taking them with us. There's 50 states in this giant country. So each year, at least a couple states approach legalization at this point. And so we're seeing improvements in how the laws are written right from the get-go, which means including DEI issues and provisions from the start. So that's encouraging to see. Yeah.
Yes. 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 I mean, like we just said earlier, as long as there's no way to continue making laws for this space without including us in decision making. Like to open up another state and to have these programs and to not involve the people that are actually frontline going through the stuff. It makes no sense. But this is America. But you know, we're finally getting to the table. So that I always say this: we've come a long way. You know what I mean? You're talking to a ex-felon for selling cannabis that owns a cannabis store. So we've come a long way. So yes. It's just now, where do we go from here? So
what a great story. And I really appreciate you coming on the show to share that story with us. I think it could be very inspiring for other Black and Brown people who feel like they've been left out of the legal industry. And several years ago, it was a lot of 36-year-old white men, right? But now we're seeing more women, more people of color. And, you know, our last couple of events have looked more like how the cannabis industry should look with its diversity. So it's inspiring to see the progress. So thanks for sticking in with us there as well. We appreciate having you as part of the program.
Oh no, I'm persistent. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So where can people find out more about Blunts and More or reach you?
So until Instagram shuts us down or for the fifth time, our current page is Blunts, B-L-U-N-T-S dot A-N-D dot, not dot, but period, excuse me, period. And not, oh my gosh, not spelled out period, actual period, the sign. So Blunts dot and dot more. I'm at Tucky Blunt until they block me for the 80th time. Twitter, I'm Blunt Tucky. Blunts and More still on Twitter. I'm on what's the thing called LinkedIn. Facebook is just for family. And we're all over the internet. You type in bluntsandmore.com and it'll pop up. If you type in Tucky Blunt, you can see all of my interviews. We're gonna add this one from the NCIA to it. This is gonna be dope, but I'm trying to be everywhere so I can put the message out there. And everything is under Tucky Blunt. Just search and you'll find me.
Man, the social media struggle is real, right?
Oh my goodness. Like, I got blocked the other day. Because I said I went on Cannabis Now, I think it's a magazine. I went on there and told them, check your email and your inbox. Blessed day. I got banned for trying to sell cannabis.
Silly. Silly. Well, hang in there and thank you so much for joining us on the show today. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice. Until next time.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.